Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The Milwaukee Repertory Theater is closing its 2015-2016 season with August Wilson's Fences. It runs through this Sunday in Milwaukee. I had a chance to see this very moving, extremely well-acted and directed performance yesterday with Scotty Myers. And we are delighted to have the director, Lou Bellamy, with us this hour. Troy Maxson is former, these are the characters in the play. Troy Maxson is a former Negro League baseball player who is now a sanitation worker in Pittsburgh. Troy has spent time in prison. His wife, Rose Lyons, his oldest son from a previous marriage. His brother, Gabe, who suffered severe head trauma in World War II and believes he is Gabriel. Corey, Troy and Rose's son. Bono, Troy's best friend, who met each other while in prison, and Raynell, Troy's daughter from another relationship. Lou Bellamy had a very long relationship with the late August Wilson, and he has put on stage so many of his plays. Lou is the founding artistic director of the Penumbra Theater in St. Paul, and he produced Wilson's first professional production. Penumbra actually holds the record for having produced more of Wilson's work than any theater in the entire world. August Wilson is a two-time Pulitzer Prize winner. He wrote a series of 10 plays, and Fences is one of those plays that tells the story of the African-American experiences through the 20th century. He explores a number of issues, including racism and family values. We will be welcoming phone calls. I hope some of you did have a chance to see the show. If not, it's a really worth seeing, and it runs through Sunday. But if you have seen it, I'm very interested in your responses to this play. Our phone number for Lou is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter as well, and that's @KDunnShow. Lou, thank you so much for being with us. Hi.
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 Glad to talk with you.
Yeah, nice to have you here. We saw the show yesterday. It's just very, very well done. It's so good, so well directed, so well acted, and what a play. You know, it's still with me today. It's going to be with me tomorrow and the next day.
I should hope so, and especially in that beautiful room at the Rep, you're so close to the performers, and they are absolutely, as you said, blowing the roof off the place. They really are.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Tell me about how you and August Wilson met each other, and then the long relationship he had with the theater, and you had producing so many of his plays. How did you meet each other?
Well, we met, Penumbra is about to celebrate its 40th anniversary.
Congratulations.
We began in 1976, and I hired a director by the name of Claude Purdy, who was a good friend of August Wilson's. They were very best of friends. And at that time, August was a poet. He had sort of flirted with drama, but was mainly a poet. And Claude invited him to Penumbra, where he saw, as a matter of fact, I was on stage in a show called Eden by Steve Carter. And August was later to write that he sat in the house that night looking at a play and wondering if he'd ever write anything good enough to be on that stage.
Oh, my gosh. Right.
So I guess he did that.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, he sure did. And you also played, is this right, you played Troy at Penumbra?
I did. I did it at Penumbra. We moved the play downtown, and it ran for 6 or 7 months there.
Ooh.
And then I also was in another production that we remounted at the Guthrie here in Minnesota.
Oh.
So I've had him under my skin, and it's not a light thing to carry around.
No, I'm sure it's not. You talk about this play, Fences, as being Wilson's most accessible play, a single Lear-like figure who has at once engendered deep understanding, revulsion, and identification from audiences all over the world. Why do you call him a Lear-like character?
Well, he's just, the things that he faces are monumental. And one of the things that Wilson was so wonderful at doing is placing these cosmic kinds of interactions in the lives of common, everyday people. The kinds of considerations, facing death, all those sorts of things that his Troy Maxson does. In most European drama, those kinds of considerations are reserved for royalty, kings and queens. And he goes through this sort of monumental, life-changing arc in the play that is just, well, it's breathtaking. I think that he's quite difficult to like.
Yes.
And you almost like him in spite of yourself. He's tragic because he doesn't understand his own flaws. It seems that everyone else can see them, but he can't, and that makes for great drama. He's been warped by racism and is reacting to it and isn't aware of it, and it's quite arresting.
Well, the one thing that he does, and he does it so beautifully on stage, the actor, is that this guy can laugh, and he can laugh, as he describes being able to do with a girlfriend you find out about later in the play, with whom he has a daughter. But he can laugh from his, you know, the tips of his toes straight up his body. His whole self is laughing.
I think he is, and what you even see more of, Kathleen, is the way in which those people interact, and there is full-bodied laughter, and it has a quality of authenticity about it. They're not sort of scrubbed up to come into a major regional theater. You feel like you're in their backyard, and it works, you know.
Yeah, it does work. So one thing I was thinking about as you become totally absorbed in his character is he's a darn good baseball player. He's a minor league baseball player. But as Rose, his wife, reminds him, because he's now a sanitation worker, that he was too old to make the major league. And he says, no, it was race. So what was it? Was it both? Was it race that kept him from becoming a major league player earlier on?
Well, I think that... I don't know. Somebody listening will know when Satchel Paige made it to the majors, but he was quite old. I think you've put your finger on what makes this guy so interesting and August Wilson's writing so compelling. There are dual sort of stories going. Is it about his age? Is it about his race? Does he stop his son from playing football because he wants him to get a craft or a trade? Or is it because he doesn't want the boy to succeed where he failed in sports?
Right.
So that's what makes the drama as compelling as it is. You have to wrestle with these questions yourself.
And then all the family, the story about his family and one of so many children, his father being a mean guy, and does the son have traits that the father did because that was his father and that was August Wilson's father, it sounds like, as well. There are these threads that go through.
Well, there are, and I remember when I played the role, I would have people, men, coming to me and hugging me so tight they'd actually hurt me.
Really?
And I mean, this is in Minnesota, so we've got Scandinavians for days. And they're saying, you know, that's my story. That's my story. That's my father. You know, so he's clearly touched. August Wilson has tapped into something that males and females recognize, no matter what culture they come from.
Yeah. The hardest problem that I had with him, and I wonder if other audiences all over the world do as well, was one that he wouldn't let his son, because here's his son is obviously a gifted athlete and maybe indeed could have had that scholarship to college and his whole life would have been different, and his father just won't let him do it. And the second, of course, is how he really betrays this good-hearted, kind Rose, his wife.
Yes, I remember when I first played this role, it was shortly after it had left Broadway, and we weren't sure whether anyone could do it, whether a regular actor like myself could mount something this stellar, this big. And I remember getting into discussions with the director at precisely the point you're talking about, when he wouldn't let his son take a football scholarship to go to college. I just stopped. I said, I hate this man.
Oh.
I don't like men like this.
Mm.
I don't want to play this guy. He holds his family hostage with a little paycheck. And it was just, we'd sit and cry, literally, and argue, and then go back and do it again. And when I first played the role, my daughter played the little girl.
Oh, did she?
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah. And I was there on the stage, and she was sitting down front, and I hit those boards with the bat, like I have Troy do in the production you saw.
Right.
And I looked down at my daughter, and she was crying.
Aww.
And I stopped, and I went. I said, "Sarah, what is wrong with you? I don't hit you. I've never hit you." And she said, "No, but you hit the table."
Mm.
So you see, that kind of intimidation, I think, is real and something we all understand.
Mm. I haven't seen James Earl Jones do him before. And was he on Broadway and so it was over and you had that to live up to, too? And the other question is, did Wilson have James Earl Jones in mind for that role?
I think he did.
Did he?
What you saw yesterday or the other day when you saw it is a very physical Troy Maxson. I mean, they get down, they fight,
right.
They move. My style of directing is ensemble, but I call it a weave. The actors are always moving, and when it was done on Broadway under Lloyd Richards' direction, James Earl Jones sort of anchored the piece and had people come to him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this Troy, the one you saw, is more athletic, and that would be the way I would prefer to see the play done.
Mm-hmm. So did he win a Pulitzer for this or for a body of work or what, August Wilson?
I think he won two of them. One of them was from Fences, and I believe the other one was for Piano Lesson.
Mm-hmm. And your theater company has performed many, many, many of his works, right?
Yeah, we've done them, and many of them a number of times. We gave him his first professional production, a play called Black Bart and the Sacred Hills. And it was a lot of his poetry pulled together into a dramatic piece. It was the old Lysistrata yarn set in the Old West, and women withheld sexual favors till men stopped fighting.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't his greatest piece of work.
But it was his first.
It was his first professional production, yes.
Yeah. And there is, when you mention poetry, poetry finds its way into many of the lines in Fences, too. He speaks, and the people don't sound as though they're, highfalutin when they say it. It weaves itself naturally into the dialogue, too, but it is poetic, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And, there are those like an Amiri Baraka who say that the primary language of African Americans is music.
Mm-hmm.
And August Wilson has listened to that rhythm and that music and has been able to transfer it to the stage. And what's so wonderful about it is you're used to seeing a poetic line completed by a single character. But in Wilson's writing, one character might start the rhythm and another character finishes the line.
Yes.
So it has a seamless sort of quality to it.
And the music is beautiful in the production. Did you pick all of that?
Oh, yes.
How did you
pick?
Yeah,
I always do the music in my shows. How can you go wrong with Sam Cooke?
You can't go wrong with Sam Cooke, can you? You just can't. I love Sam Cooke. But so many of the other songs, and the songs that are in the play as well, the old blues song and...
Yeah. Wilson used the blues, listened to them. He's got blues lines in his plays directly from blues records. It is a music that touched him and gave him inspiration for his work.
Mm. And tell me a little bit about his life. It's very interesting. His father, a German immigrant who he didn't see very much of, he took his mother's maiden name to honor her. He quit school when he was, what, 16?
I think he did. Of course, I didn't know him then, but from talking with him and going to Pittsburgh with him and going through those neighborhoods and all that sort of stuff. August had written an essay, a biographical essay. It might have been on Napoleon. I can't remember. But he was accused of plagiarism.
Mm.
It was just too good. And it made him leave school. He felt that if they didn't trust him, he didn't want to be there. And I've heard him say many times that his belief in himself was stronger than anyone else's disbelief in him.
Hmm.
So at a very young age, he had this this confidence in his ability to get what he needed out of books or people or whatever. He would read 10, 15, 20 books at once.
Wow.
And he'd have them all open to different parts so that he was pulling what he needed out of all of the different sources.
Hmm. So the father in Fences, you have to ask this because you always wonder about it, how much of it is drawn from Troy's father, actually, in the play, who you never meet on stage. But I'm wondering, is that the genesis of an idea for something like Fences, that he was thinking about his dad? Did he ever talk about that?
No, not really. I think that all writing is a little bit autobiographical. What part of that he owns, I don't know about. I've never heard him compare that.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to his body of work, this is a really important thing to have done in your lifetime. 10 plays that represent African-American experience really over a whole century. Is that stretching it too much?
And you know, what's so wonderful about it, if you're African-American, you recognize those stories immediately. If you're not, what you see is an American narrative that you know because you've been taught it, you've experienced it, but it's told from sort of a different viewpoint, and it gets you off kilter. You say, I know that instance, I know what he's talking about, I know that baseball pitcher, but I've never heard him talked about in this kind of context.
Hmm.
And that's what gives the history, I believe, a freshness, because it's through another perspective that we're not used to in America hearing, a narrative we're not used to experiencing.
Lou Bellamy is our guest this hour. He is director of the current show at the Milwaukee Repertory Theater, which has been very well received. Scotty and I saw it yesterday, and you still have a week to see it. I hope if you haven't seen it, you'll have a chance to go. It's beautifully done. It's, you know, not entirely happy play, but it's very, very beautifully acted and directed, and the music, of course, is superb. Lou Bellamy is our guest this hour, and Lou directed the Milwaukee Reps production. He's also the man who produced, you know, if it hadn't been for Lou, who knows where August Wilson may have gone. He produced August Wilson's first professional production in 1982, and he is the longtime artistic, founding artistic director of the Penumbra Theater in St. Paul. He wrote Malcolm X, a one-man show for Lou, actually, to perform, and he brought several of his characters to life on stage, including Troy, who is Wilson's flawed hero in Fences, which is now at the Milwaukee Rep. I do hope, I know there must be some of you who have seen the production or are very familiar with August Wilson, and we'd love to have you join the conversation and we can talk about the show. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook, The Kathleen Dunn Show. We're on Twitter at K Dunn Show. This has been said about Lou Bellamy. There probably is no finer interpreter of the work of August Wilson than Penumbra Theater founder Lou Bellamy. He's been framing, interrogating, and honoring African American literature on stage for more than 40 years. A master storyteller who creates richly evocative stage pictures, he approaches scripts with an artistic eye, a deep psychological inquiry, and musicality. He is with us this hour, and we certainly welcome your phone calls. We'll just talk, but I didn't want to exclude you from the conversation, so if you've seen it, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Lou Bellamy, who directed the current production, and it's the last production this season for the Milwaukee Repertory Theater, August Wilson's Fences, and we'll welcome phone calls for him, 800-486-8655. Terry Lou on Facebook writes, this is, and they've done a lot of good work, so this is high praise. This is one of the best plays I have seen at the Rep. I'm sure that's nice for you to hear.
Yes, I'm quite happy with that. And I think we really, anyone who sees it at the Rep has the Rep's artistic director, Mark Clemens, to thank for it. This play's been out there. We've been doing it. It is in Milwaukee and in that lovely room because he wanted it to be there. He recognized that there was something special about it, and I just want to make sure that folks understand that.
Yeah, he's very good at what he does, and then some. Very good. You are quoted as saying, Lou, the ensemble in this production is easily the strongest I've had the pleasure of leading. Quality and attention to detail of all the designers is without equal. Experience the thunder that is Fences. Tell me about the ensemble, because I'm wondering how you create this family. They're not really family, but here they are on stage, and it's highly complex, and it's not always easy. And I'm wondering, first, how you select the actors for this. Are they people who are familiar with the bulk of August Wilson's and fans of his work? Have you worked with them in other theaters? And how do you get them to create a very real family where they've been together for years and years, but they haven't really been? So
right.
How do you do that?
Well, three of that ensemble are Penumbra Theater Company members.
Mm.
Gabe is being played by my brother, Terry Bellamy.
Oh, that's your brother. I wondered what the relation was. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, the Troy, David Allen Anderson, has been a member of Penumbra for 25 years. And James Alfred playing Lyons. Has been a member of Penumbra for about 4 or 5 years.
Mm.
So when you've got that kind of sort of bedrock upon which to build a play, you know that you're solid in it. The other people, Kim Staunton, isn't she phenomenal?
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. She is so
amazing.
Good. Yeah.
And she and I had done this show together once before at Denver Center. And so I just called her right away to see if she was available. Marcus Naylor was also in that production in Denver. So these people have been together for quite a while, but the ensemble nature that you feel with that play, or at least this production, is something that you've got to have actors who are willing to surrender to the ensemble. And all of them aren't willing to do that. So when I first talk with any of them, I ask them flat out, I said, you know, August Wilson does not write bad characters. Even the smallest of his characters are memorable. I think, for instance, of Two Trains Running, where this one character, Hambone, has one line that he just almost repeats throughout the play, I want my ham. And when people walk out of that play, that's the one line they can quote. So you want actors who are willing to do that, who believe in the dignity and the intelligence inside of these folksy kind of people. You've got to be willing to go there and believe that that's possible. And once one does that and creates characters that we know, that are our aunts, our uncles, our grandparents.
Yes.
It has a reality to it that they say now is palpable.
Hmm. Yeah. Let's go to a phone call. Michael in Sawyer, Minnesota. Hi, Michael.
Yes.
Hi. Go right ahead.
Oh, good afternoon. Lou Bellamy, this is Michael Garcia. I wanted to call in and say how much I appreciate what you have done to bring August's voice to the stage. I've, of course, followed your work for a long time and have been just so appreciative of bringing a voice to the African-American experience, bringing it to the stage. I don't know if everybody realizes how profound you and August changed the scope of American theater, and I'm just so deeply appreciative.
Hmm.
Well, that's wonderful, Michael. Thank you for calling. What is happening here is Wilson is very, very specific. This is an African-American garbage collector who played in the Negro Leagues, yet what we find is when he gets as specific as he does, that's when we reach across the chasm and create a universal. Universals are created out of great specificity. Shakespeare was specific. Ibsen was specific. You know, that's the way you make universals. And that kind of truth. I mean, how many of us have read poetry and say to ourselves, how in the world could they know thought that? I thought I was the only person in the world who thought that. And that's when we find ourselves perhaps being the most human. So when we give the African-American experience on stage the kind of specificity, dignity, attention to detail that we give it and supply those cultural rhythms and nuances that are the intent of the playwright, what comes out of that is a universal experience.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Michael, thanks so much for your call. Jennifer in Madison. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. I'm so glad you had this on because I think Fences is a fantastic play, and this production is just above and beyond what one would hope for. It's so powerful. I saw the play when it was still new over 30 years ago.
Oh.
And my sister and brother and I all went to a production in Los Angeles. We were almost the only ones there who were not of color. And yet we walked out saying with everyone else we could hear, that's just like my family.
Right.
You know, so-and-so was like this, so-and-so was like that. And the other thing I discovered, I didn't remember this from L.A., But at the point when Troy Maxson is justifying himself to Rose about why it was okay he had this affair, how it made him feel good and made him feel he could laugh and sing, there was this susurration of female rage, no matter what the ethnicity, no matter what the age. You know, most women have had to deal with that or on behalf of a friend or loved one. And the anger was kind of scary, but exciting, too, to think that people were so into it.
Thank you.
I recognize what you're talking about. In fact, I have never seen, and I've been in drama for quite some time, I've never seen an audience pull back and sort of take back the love that they've been willing to share with the character. You can literally see, especially women, they're leaning into the work because the work is interesting and they want to know what's going on. When that happens, you see them, just the body language, they just sit back. And you can just feel that iciness in the room. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I do, too. I could feel it. I could feel it. It's, yeah, the second act is much different in that way. Thank you so much, Jennifer, for your call. And let's talk a little bit more, because he really is the lyric character here about Troy. You, interestingly, were talking about the problems that you had with the character and how much you didn't like this guy at times, and going over with your director, you know, what it is you didn't like, and yet still getting up there and performing it. Did David Alan Anderson, who plays Troy in the Reps production, have the same questions that you did? Did you sort of, did he not want to play him? Did he not like this guy at some point? And so you had to wrestle with who he was and put him on stage?
It is difficult for any actor to play that role if they have an ounce of compassion and so forth. It's really difficult. And David did struggle with it. And the struggle is finding that part of Troy Maxson in yourself. And no one wants to admit that that's there. No one wants to admit that. So he had sort of a come to the light moment where he had to do that as well. What makes, again, this cast so very special is this may be, these people are at the sort of the, there's a sweet spot in age when you can play certain roles, and you should have played certain roles at certain age if you're an actor. And there are several people on that stage that this is probably the last time they'll be able to play those roles.
Oh, yes.
And so they're just putting everything in it. They've got a mountain of experience and yet willing to do the ensemble work. It's truly a special, very special production.
And what a family operation for you. I've read that your daughter, who you talked about earlier, is being in the audience when she was a child at your theater company, and now she's about to take over, right, in 2017? That's amazing.
Yes, she is. I did everything I could to talk her out of out of doing that, but it's what she wants to do, and she's doing it quite well.
That's good. And your brother, to direct your brother, I thought your brother was brilliant in this show. He was just, from what he had to say to how he moved his legs, he was just captivating.
And there's a, I've never seen that. I've seen this production many, many times, but I've never seen the kind of gentleness.
Yes.
And see the way you said that? Yes.
Yes.
The way people just love him. I've never seen an actor approach it quite that way.
Isn't it a strange thing to be directing your brother, Lou?
We've worked together for 40 years.
Oh, my goodness.
He was in that original company in Penumbra, so we've worked together a long, long time.
Well, what's your family background? Did you have theatrical parents too?
No. My father was a waiter on the Great Northern Railroad.
Huh.
I worked my way through college as a waiter on the same railroad.
Really?
Yeah, my mother ran a bar called the Ebony Lounge in St. Paul.
So where did the theater bug strike?
I went to a small school in southern Minnesota, and I was on went down there to I wanted to run track, and one of the directors, the head of the department, ended up being my mentor, was doing a play called Finian's Rainbow.
Oh, sure, I know that. Yeah.
And he came up to the dorm and put me in the play. He said, "You're in a play. You're in a play," and then there were girls.
Oh, there were girls.
There were girls, and there were words already written to say to them, and it was just marvelous.
So you got a girlfriend out of the deal too, huh?
Yeah,
that's not bad. And more about the theater. Are you devoted exclusively to African American playwrights, or not?
Well, I'm interested in the way in which that ethos is presented on the stage,
mm-hmm.
and that means that I'm into design, I'm into writing, I'm into directing, training, all that sort of stuff. Although now at this point in my career, I'm 72 years old.
Huh?
I enjoy most of all working with people who have all of it all figured out, and they have the kind of craft and control that I can be very, very specific and ask them for complicated reactions to text rather than a general reaction. And it's really rewarding. You see the fruits of it in the senses.
Yes. Yeah. So you're working with people who have had their 10,000 hours of experience.
You betcha.
Yeah. And what about the other aspects of it? The set for this show is really, it takes place, you know, the fence gets built, but it's there. It's one set for the whole, it's beautifully constructed, and it all takes place in the yard, doesn't it? The
yeah.
Plays in the yard.
Well, you know, I went with August to Pittsburgh, and I took all kinds of pictures. If anyone from Pittsburgh sees that show, they'll recognize those houses and that neighborhood, right down to the jangled, jerry-rigged wires that are running into the house. And so I had that research. The woman who designed the set, her name is Vicki Smith. I work with her almost exclusively now, and we've worked on several of August's plays and other plays that are not his together. So she's a wonderful designer. She knows how to talk with a design and how to construct it in a kind of a way that actors have things to do on the set. You feel like you're in that backyard.
Yeah.
And isn't it amazing when that fence is completed?
Yes.
And you see Troy in the middle of that yard toward the end of that play, and, you know, reaching across it to speak to his best friend and so forth.
Yeah.
It's an amazing metaphor.
Yeah, it sure is. So is he about your favorite African-American playwright? And then let's go beyond African. And who do you love to read and who do you love to see perform?
Well, of course, August would come to mind. There's a young writer now, well, not so young, but new writer. Her name is Dominique Morisseau, and I think people should watch for her. We workshopped a play of hers called Follow Me to Nellie's a few years ago, and she's now hit. And she's got a play called Detroit 67, Sunset Baby, Skeleton Crew. She writes about Detroit a lot, in kind of the way that August writes about Pittsburgh.
Oh.
She's absolutely wonderful. And there are many others, you know.
Are you really fond of Shakespeare as well?
I've acted it, and I've played those roles. I did Othello. I was in Taming of the Shrew and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, I like it. I prefer to be inside. I want to do something with the drama. When I do this work, I want it to don't know, change the world somehow.
Sure.
And it's a little more difficult with that because those plays, they're very rich, but you spend so much time trying to make them vital and relevant to today's audiences that almost tires you out by the time you're through with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather spend my time and effort in this genre because I think it's just so worthy and so underdeveloped, not in the work itself, but in the way we present it and where it gets presented. And once you see a play like Fences and a production like the one you've witnessed, I think you're changed by it.
Yes, I think so too. And how do you hope to change the world by the work you do?
I think one word and play at a time. You know, as I indicated earlier, I think perhaps the extent of our humanity is our ability to see ourselves in people, in bodies, that are so much different than ours.
Mm-hmm.
When we were able to do that, to reach across in that kind of way, that's when we extend our humanity perhaps as far as we can do it. And so I try to present this entire cultural world and allow an audience to see how it all fits together. And it has a kind of a beauty to it that inspires me.
And it must be hard to let it go, too, to have the show be over, isn't it?
Oh, it's horrible.
It's horrible? Yeah, I bet.
It is. To think that a production as special as this one is going to go away, you know, it's rather sad. But that is the nature of the drama. It is ephemeral, and
right,
you have to see it when it's there.
Right. It's true of almost everything, isn't it?
Well, yes.
We'll welcome more phone calls if you'd like to join us. Lou Bellamy is our guest, the acclaimed director, and he directed the Milwaukee Repertory Theater's final production. You have one more week to see August Wilson's Fences. Lou is the founding artistic director of the Penumbra Theater Company in St. Paul. He produced August Wilson's first professional production and has produced more of Wilson's work than any other theater in the whole wide world. Lou is an actor as well who played the lead role in Fences some time ago. Well, if you've seen it, please call, because it is the kind of production that you want to talk about with people, because it does stay with you. Very, very well done. Our phone number, otherwise we'll just talk, but I would like to have you join us if you would like to do so. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook, where we'd love to read your messages about, you know, what we're talking about, we'd like to read those after we're off the air, is the Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter, and that's @KDunnShow. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Lou Bellamy is our guest. He is an acclaimed director, and he is directing the Milwaukee Repertory Theater's current production, and then the season will end for this year. It opens up again in the fall. August Wilson's Fences is the play right now. Scotty and I saw it yesterday. It's definitely worth your time. Our number is 800-486-8655. Kay in Madison, our next caller, Lou. Hi, Kay.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, I saw this play many years ago, and I can't remember if I saw it in Milwaukee or Madison, but what you're talking about today sounds so great, I decided I'm going to drive over on Saturday night. I got a ticket.
All right.
Good for you.
It'll be good. I'm looking forward to seeing the play again.
You're going to like it, Kay.
Thank you very much.
You like it.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for your work. Bye-bye.
Bye. I don't even think we talked about when the play was written and first performed, Lou.
Boy, you know, I'd really have to look. I can't remember. You know, these. I'm sitting in my library now, so it'll only take me a second to get to it.
Yeah, I just was wondering about that. Because is it set in the 50s? Is that a fair assessment of when it is? The play itself.
Well, Kathleen, you can't spring things on me like that. I can't.
I just asked the wrong question.
it opened at Yale Rep in 1985.
Ah, okay.
And it is set in... I think it's the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 1957.
Okay. Isn't it interesting when you think about Wilson that here's somebody, you know, it's sort of this Abraham Lincoln story in a way, who's self-educated, who reads all these books, who's obviously brilliant and poetic and incredibly creative, but somebody has to notice that about him. He doesn't have the degree from Yale. He didn't go to hotshot schools. He didn't, you know, he sort of educated himself. And somebody had to say, oh, I think you have promise.
Well, I think that happened for him. You know, we're in the Midwest, and people tend to fly over us, both in Wisconsin and in Minnesota.
Right.
It happened for him when he took one of his plays to the O'Neill playwriting workshop. And at that time, he met a man who was then the head of drama and the artistic director of the Yale School of Drama. His name was Lloyd Richards. And he directed, he was the first black director on Broadway. He directed the Raisin in the Sun that was on Broadway. So Lloyd saw his work and recognized that voice. And they began a partnership that was to last for several years.
Mm, that's a great story. Kay,
that
thanks.
Play was Ma Rainey.
Oh, sure. Judith is next in Grand Marsh. Hi, Judith.
Hello. I'm hoping that there's a benefactor listening that would recognize that there are lots of young black people in Milwaukee on white people, possibly theater, but just to have a lift to somebody's heart, if there's any unsold seat, isn't there a benefactor that could fill everyone with a young person from Milwaukee? That would be my wish.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's absolutely wonderful. There's an actor on that stage, the guy playing Lyons, and he ended up going to Harvard for graduate school.
Oh.
And he went there to study drama because he saw a play of August Wilson's on stage. And he said, I just have to do that. I've never seen that before. And it changed his life. And your wish for many of these young people, I think, is not out of the question. It could very well change their lives.
Thank you so much for your call, Judith. Kathy in Wauwatosa, hi.
Hi. Such an honor to be able to talk with Lou. My only comment was that we've seen all the plays at the Rep this year. I was sure that, and they were all outstanding, and I was sure that Dreamgirls would be my all-time favorite. But after seeing Fences this past week, Rose's performance just knocked my socks off. Mm-hmm. And I'm hopeful that anybody who hasn't had a chance to see the play will have that opportunity.
Mm. She's quite special, isn't she?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
absolutely.
She's got all of the craft, but a kind of... I don't know, a warmth.
Yes.
You love her so very much that you, when she's hurt, you're hurt right along with her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's quite wonderful. I agree with you.
And is she the kind of actress who reinvents herself every time she plays a role? I had that feeling about her.
She is. She her work is very deep.
Mm-hmm.
And in that room where an audience is as close to you, where they can reach out and touch you in that thrust stage, it's difficult to do surface work. It's got to be very deep work because they can look right in your eyes. And she's every fiber of her being is in that work. The pain and the joy. that she shares throughout is it reaches you and pierces you, I think, quite deeply. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Well, Lou, thank you so much for being with us and for all that you've done for theater and for making the world better. It's a good goal.
I'm trying.
Keep doing it.
Well, thank you. I listen to you. I have a place in northern Wisconsin. I listen to you a lot. I'm just thrilled to have a conversation with you.
Oh, Lou, I'm thrilled to have one with you. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks. Lou Bellamy, founder and co-artistic director of the Penumbra Theater Company in St. Paul, Minnesota. He directed the Milwaukee Rep's last production. You still have a week to see it, August Wilson's Fences. It's beautifully done, beautifully directed and acted, and it's at the Milwaukee Rep until next Sunday. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing the show and Lisa Nalbandian for on-air production here in our studio. Studios in Milwaukee. We'll be with you again tomorrow at 1 o'clock.